B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
It's 3 o'clock hour. This is Mike Missinelli Show. And the 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Quirpley's Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie and hoagie party cheese. Every bit is good. Good night at the ballpark last night. Phillies cuffed the Cubs 11-1, looking for a sweep tonight. So we'll see. What was up with last night? Let's bring in the man who covers the Phillies, been covering for a long time for the Philadelphia Inquirer, Bob Brooker over on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bob, last night was like a written script. Dad shows up in uniform, and the kids go wild. What's it all mean?
Well, I think just for one night, it meant that things went the Phillies' way, especially offensively, which hasn't happened much this season. It kind of reminded me of the first three games of the season against the Braves, where there was energy in the park. The offense did what we thought the offense was going to do when they brought in all these guys. As we know, that didn't last through the rest of the season. And now they've got a reboot here with Charlie Manuel. Obviously Charlie didn't go and say make a lot of adjustments with the hitters, but for some reason, everything clicked last night. It probably helped that Cole Hamels was far from his best. In fact, it might have been the worst start of Cole's career. I don't think we can read too much into one night.
Okay, so it would be the bigger question, I guess. Is it an oversimplification to think that Charlie being here is going to transform this offense?
Yes, I think it is. And even Charlie kind of admitted that by saying, a team can get like this adrenaline rush or, when something new happens, you get that. But at some point, the norm sets in and you have to play through that. But, it's interesting. I'm working on a story. I talked to Greg Gross this week just about Charlie, and I'm working on something with that. And in midst of talking to Greg Gross, he said, if these guys are so locked into analytics and so into, all this information, here comes a guy who just says, "Hey, let's go have fun. That's it. You got something you want to ask me? Bounce it off me. I'll help you all I can." And maybe just to simplify things might not be a bad thing for this offense right now.
All right. Last night they were overly aggressive. There's a big stat they swung on pitch one, pitch two, a large percentage of the time. Is that Charlie's quick influence? Is he puts the uniform on and that's the only thing he imparts last night? Or do you think that just happened?
I don't know because we didn't get a chance to talk to Charlie after the game. But if it was, it's smart because, the book on this team is that they're all, for the most part, with few exceptions, but are a bunch of patient hitters. And, throw strike one to them, put them in a hole, see what happens. To change things up, to be an aggressive team every once in a while would not be the worst thing in the world for this team. I don't know who gets the credit for it, but it was exactly right. They came out and it's that first inning, they just attacked. They attacked pitches, and, again, I think it helped. Cole Hamels' velocity was down yesterday. He admitted it. Joe Maddon admitted it. He was a little sick. So, I think it helped that Cole wasn't at his best. To think that every night is going to be like that, it would be crazy. But again, I don't think it's a bad approach to every once in a while say, hey, let's go up there and attack fastballs early in the count.
All right. So let's look at now, because we all know that if the Phillies are going to make this wild card, their offense has to do it. And we've been waiting all year for them to hit collectively, and we've been waiting all year for a guy like Bryce Harper to carry him for a little while, like the days that Ryan Howard used to do it. He looks like he's on a little bit of a roll. What are you seeing? What are they saying? What is he saying? Do you feel it right now that he is in this mode where he can carry this team through the rest of this month and into September?
Well, Bryce is funny because when we asked him about, the change, he said you never like to see anybody get fired. But Charlie Manuel seemingly is the kind of hitting instructor that Bryce Harper would like, because Bryce is like not a in the video room guy, pouring over every little detail of a pitcher. He likes to get up there and compete. And yes, we've been thinking all season, no matter who the hitting coach is, at some point Bryce Harper has to have some hot months. For throughout his career, that has been who he is. And we just haven't seen that great, great month from him yet, and it's due. I mean, it's really due. He's having an okay season for him, for his standpoint. If he was just some guy, we'd be saying, yeah, he's having a really good season. But he's not just some guy. But like you said, they need him to carry the offense if this is going to happen. They need him, and not just him. You know, they need Romuto has kind of been carrying the team lately, and he was expected to have better offensive numbers in this ballpark. They need that too. That's another thing they really need, is for two or three guys all at once to get hot and sustain that for a week and a half or 2 weeks.
Talking to Bob Berkover, covers the Phillies for the Inquirer. Bob, in my opinion, hiring Charlie back was like a Middleton reaction piece. And so if we assume that, and I don't know if you assume that or not, Middleton is reacting, and something's got to change for the rest of this year because we're trying to get in the playoffs. What comes after? You know, if Charlie's on a temporary thing to impart a different philosophy of hitting, what comes after? Do they go back to the Maley approach? Because that's what they're teaching in the minor leagues right now.
It is, and it's a fascinating question. What I think should come after is, okay, now you've kind of opened a little can of worms here, because they've been very resistant to having anybody from the Phillies' past having a whole lot of influence in what they're trying to do. Now you've let the past in a little bit. Maybe you let it in a little bit more, and maybe the key, you know, everybody around baseball is trying to figure out how do we make analytics work best? And I think they've all tried to figure out, how do we mix the old with the new? And maybe that is the best blend for the future of baseball, to get to a happy medium here with the old school and the new school. You know, find that blend. And in order to do that, maybe the best thing for the Phillies right now as an organization and at the big league level is to maybe bring in those voices that you've been resistant of hearing a little bit, and keep your guys if you want, but mix it in a little bit, mix it up a little bit.
All right, so best case scenario, Charlie Manuel's presence reignites the offense. They make a run. They do get the wild card, wherever that leads. That saves Kapler's job. But what does it say that maybe they would like to keep Charlie around as the hitting coach next year? Because that's the easy solution, right?
That would be the easy solution. You know, that's all a matter of whether Charlie would want to do it. And, you know, I don't even travel very much anymore. I did a trip to LA and San Diego earlier this year. I'm a much younger man than Charlie Manuel. That's a tough thing on a 75-year-old man. I mean, but we got it. Phil Regan's 82 in New York, and he's doing it. You know, that's got to be all up to Charlie, whether he wants to go through that grind of the travel that's involved, the late nights that are involved. I mean, he's already at the ballpark often, you know, a whole lot, almost every night when they're home.
Do you think Klentak would let that happen? Suppose Charlie does want to do it. Do you think Klentak would want to let that happen? It seems like an odd mix right now. I don't know if it would work in the front office to do that.
I'm going to go back to what you just said. Do you think John Middleton would let it happen?
Yeah. Well, that's the presumption is that if Charlie lights his offense up, Middleton's going to want him to stay.
Yes, exactly. I don't think you were wrong about the Middleton influence here. So.
Okay. All right. So it is possible that Middleton, when Middleton wants Charlie to come back, Charlie's not going to refuse him, because we know two things about Charlie. He loves hitting. He loves teaching hitting. The guy's going to ask him to teach it more. And the only thing is, can he put up with the travel?
That's the thing. And Charlie loves being around the ballpark. You know, he's a baseball rat. I mean, no doubt about it. I could see a scenario where Charlie would say, "Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it for another year. You ask me, I'll do it." And he said all the right things the other day. He's here just for these 7 weeks, but I could see Charlie saying yes if this all works out and they become a wild card team, you know, have a little playoff success. Yeah, I can see.
Well,
I can see the scenario. He's back.
If that happens, that means Klentak sucking on sour balls for an entire season. So
but also means he's the general manager of a team that made the playoffs.
True.
So he's got the worst thing in the world.
He's got to bite that bullet, I guess.
Not all bedfellows are meant to be are perfect together, but you see, you go with what you got.
All right, Bob. You're feeling right now. Do they hang in there and get that spot, or are you like me, convinced that their pitching staff isn't good enough to do it anyway?
I'm with you on that. I don't think that there's two things. I don't think the pitching staff is good enough, and I think the schedule to wind up the season is this brutal, where you got to go to Atlanta and then to Cleveland and then to five in D.C., all against teams that are going to be wanting to win. And then after all that, you come home to finish out with the Marlins, and, of course, that might be the worst of it all for the Phillies.
Listen, Middleton's already made one change. If they fall off the cliff here, finish in fourth, what happens in the manager's seat?
I'd be surprised if there wasn't a change at that point. And that, you know, at that point, as John Middleton's got to decide whether, do I want to keep going forward in this course? I mean, you can change things and maybe try to get to that happy medium where you bring in a guy who's receptive to analytics, but not so overboard that, you know, it's the only thing about you. Try to find a guy who's been successful in using all the new information that's available in the best possible way to help a team, you know. And that's the decision Middleton's going to have to make at that point. He's got to just decide whether he thinks Gabe Kapler is the manager. Take this team forward.
All right. Bob, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Take care, Mike.
There he is, Bob Brookover from the Inquirer. All right. So there are three scenarios. You can climb in right now. It's a good time to climb in. 610-620-975. 610-620-975. Three scenarios, Tyra. One is, scenario one, Charlie has success with the offense. They get into the playoffs. He saves Gabe's job. Gabe's back next year. And the only thing is, will Charlie be back as the hitting coach? And if not, where would they go? Back to an analytics guy. Scenario two. Charlie has a mild effect on the offense, but it's not good enough to get into the playoffs, but it gets him close. Does that save Gabe's job? And three, Charlie has no impact. They go down instead of up on the trend, miss the playoffs by many games. That doesn't save Gabe. Which one is the most likely?
I think the middle one is most likely, if I take off my current exuberance for what happened last night.
They just miss,
because I do think they're going to be in the mix, but mainly because I think Harper, I do truly believe Harper has found something, and he's going to go on one of these streaks. So I think they're going to win enough to be close, but probably not get in.
That saves Gabe's job. If they just miss, it saves Gabe's job, but it won't bring Charlie back.
It won't, but it won't be an analyst guy that's their hitting coach, though. I think the owner is telling the GM and the manager. They may not be listening. What he's saying is, I heard all your analytics stuff, and I bought in. It didn't work. It's not working. You guys need to balance it with some baseball people like Bob, and you've talked about that as well.
But the only problem is, they have committed to it, and that's what they're teaching from low A all the way up.
And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with launch angle.
They have to change a little. What I'm saying is, they just have to change with 25 guys on a major league team. They would have to flush the whole system.
Not necessarily. Keep doing launch angle. Keep doing that. But what you do is, at every single level, you make sure there's a mix of both old school baseball guys. There's minor league lifers, just like there's major league lifers.
Okay.
Make sure at A ball, double A ball, triple A ball, that there's a balance. Don't throw out the analytics. You need the analytics.
All right. So scenario A, Charlie has wild success with the offense. They get into the playoffs. They lose. But it saves Gabe. Middleton wants Charlie back. Is he back?
Yeah, if he gets asked to come back, I think he stays.
All right. So
I think it would be good for Gabe. I think Gabe needs a balance. Everybody, remember, they were talking about Childress with Andy Reid. Andy Reid would be pass.
Yeah.
And Childress used to say run, and that's why they had the most success. When When Chili was gone, Andy would pass too much, and they never had that same level of success. Uh-huh. Because you need somebody, sometimes, everybody needs somebody in their ear to tell you, hey, maybe something else. I think Gabe and Klintak need a baseball guy to say, okay, but.
Final scenario. Offense doesn't improve. They don't get in the playoffs and they trend downward. Does Gabe come back?
I don't. At this point now, I don't think he does.
All right, so what Bob just said, he's inclined to say if they fall off the cliff, Middleton will also say, hey, Mr. Handsome's got to go.
Yep.
Johnny Handsome.
Yep, and then most likely you keep your analytics other places, but the manager you hire is a guy probably over 50 who's been a baseball guy. Girardi does analytics, but he also played the game and is a baseball guy. He connected with those Yankees. I'm just using him because he's a popular name. It could be as somebody as stark as Dusty Baker, because if you're willing to hire a 75-year-old batting coach, it's not a stretch to hire somebody like Dusty Baker.
All right. Did I hear in the broadcast that Gabe was engaged? Was there some kind of reference to his fiance that I heard somewhere?
I didn't hear that.
Natalie, you got the Gabe info?
No, I don't know anything about that.
I don't know. Did I hear that on the broadcast last night? Booney, did I hear that?
Yeah, Booney will have it. I didn't hear that. And I didn't see it on social media.
Reference to Gabe's fiance? Huh? Is he plunging back in?
I don't know.
All right, well.
I'll find out.
Let's go to Gary in Egg Harbor City. Gary, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Gary?
Hi, Mike. How are you?
What's going on, Gary?
Hi, Tyrone and Natalie. I'm praying for you that your heals quickly. Mike, this is what I wanted to say. I'm with you 100% about if they fall off the cliff, that Dave's got to go. But let's turn the page back, because you said it would be Klintak's call for the next manager. Now, looking back at the history, Klintak was a GM for the Angels, and he also worked for the Orioles, as did McPhail. Now, there's two guys that Klintak worked with, one being Mike Scioscia, and one being Buck Showalter. Would that interest you at all?
Yes. They both would interest me.
So do you think that's a possibility?
Only if the Phillies fall off the cliff. If they finish close to a wild card, I think Gabe's coming back. Because after all, Gabe is their handpicked guy. And they don't want to admit failure with this. So I would think he would be back. If they fall off the cliff, it would be interesting. It's two names that are very interesting.
Absolutely.
All right.
Well, thank you, Mike.
All right, Gary.
All right.
You got it, buddy. Appreciate it. And two good names. Yeah, a lot of people say, who's out there? Well, you know, Buck Showalter's a little older now, and Scioscia's a little older. So they're not, I don't think that they would both be considered progressive thinkers along the lines of what Klintak and McPhail are going for now.
But that would provide that balance, though. You guys keep doing your analytics and then also balance it, though, with a baseball. Mm-hmm. And everybody says Showalter has gotten, compared to his Yankees time, much softer. He's much more open-minded to stuff than he was, but he's still a baseball guy at heart. Like, he did a PR thing with him. People used to hate him. Now everybody likes him.
Yeah. Phillies lineup is out tonight. Leadoff hitter? Yes. Rhys Hoskins back in the leadoff hole. Harper 2, like last night. Real Muto 3. Harper was 3, that's right. Real Muto was 2. Why do they reverse him? Harper in the 3 will hit two bombs. You move him?
Gabe being Gabe.
That's silly. Dickerson is your cleanup hitter tonight. It's not Segura. So Dickerson gets the start. So is Dickerson playing left field? Yeah, I guess he's playing left field. Segura hitting 5th. Hernandez 6, Kingery's been moved to 7, and Haseley will play center field, I assume.
Yes,
playing center field, hitting 8th.
And hitting 8th,
your boy. All right, let's go Mike and Broomall. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, how you doing? First of all, I got out of the car for a second. You're talking about Flojo. Anybody call it Flojo?
Flojo's a good one, but we thought of a younger one.
Florence and the Machine?
That is correct.
Okay.
Florence and the Machine, right. But she's not called Flo ever. It's Florence and the Machine.
You know, Mike, you know better than anybody. I think I think you probably said this before. Manager in baseball is probably the least important of the coach/managers of any sport. And whether Gabe stays or not, is it really going to make that much of a difference? And the fact that the previous caller brought up Klentak and him and Phil, where they work for, Orioles and Angels, oh boy, there's some winning organizations. They have no talent at pitching except for Nola. That's their problem. The Charlie thing is a joke. It's fun. It's all that kind of stuff. What kind of difference is he really going to make? Do you really think if Charlie Lau wasn't the batting coach of the Royals, George Brett wouldn't have had a career he had? It's ridiculous.
Well, the presumption is that the Phillies do have decent hitters in the lineup, and something was holding them back. So I hear your skepticism, but Charlie Manuel is a guy that has always made people feel comfortable about their hitting ability. He's been able to convince guys that they're actually better hitters than they are by taking pressure off them and giving them positive feedback and giving them simple philosophies. So you can't say it's not going to work.
But I don't think it's going to make a difference because their pitching is so horrendous.
Well, I get it, but like last night, if they said there's a lot of pitching that's horrendous. The Yankees stink. Their starting staff stinks, right? They've got 81 wins on the board. Why? Because they're beating people. They're offensively.
Mike, you don't know what stink is. I'm visiting my hometown from Detroit. You talk about stink.
Well, yeah, they stink. Give me a starting pitcher on the Yankees. They've got 81 wins, and they're favored maybe to win the World Series.
Yeah, you're right, Severino. Herman's pretty damn good.
None of them are any good. Really?
Herman's got 13 wins.
Okay, I got you. Well, my point is that sometimes you can win games by out-hitting teams. All right, the current wild card standings. Nats, 65. That's Natalie's team, the Nats.
Yes.
The Cubs have 64 wins, but they're actually percentage points out of first place. The Cardinals with 63 wins are in first place. The Phillies are right there at 62. Oh, they gotta forget the Nats. They don't even have to look at the Nats. Focus on the Cubs and Cardinals. That's why a sweep tonight would be beneficial. 610-632-0975. The Mike Missinelli Show is on 97.5, The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Time to get a Twitter poll update brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. We have over 1,000 votes on this one so far. Was last night's Phillies win a fluke? 49% say yes, 51% say no.
All righty. Thank you very much. Big dinner party at the Missinelli residence tonight.
Oh, who's coming over?
Yeah, I got my buddy from Virginia, who's my college roommate, just had prostate surgery. So he's coming up with his wife, and we're going to chill out at the shore. But tonight, they're coming in at like 6. And I got another friend, one of our other roommates, lives in my area. So he's coming over also with his wife. And I'm whipping up a nice little dinner party.
Oh, that sounds so nice. What are you making?
Well, I got it's in various courses.
Oh.
So first we'll start off with a nice fresh spring mix salad, and I've whipped up a kind of a honey mustard dressing.
Okay.
And then we go to the homemade gnocchi, which I made 2 days ago.
Okay, yeah.
And
with the recipe you shared on there before,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
With a San Marzano marinara with the homegrown San Marzano tomatoes and fresh basil from the garden. And sprinkled in with little sausage bits.
Ooh.
On top of the gnocchi. And then we go to the filet mignons about this thick and pork chops this thick on my outside grill with a side of eggplant from my garden, sliced and fried in oil, olive oil, breaded and sliced and fried in olive oil with buttered asparagus ladled on top of the eggplant.
You know,
do you have any extra?
Hey, Natalie.
I mean, I would love to go to a dinner party.
Has Mike ever invited us for any kind of meal like that?
That's coming. That's coming. You guys will be invited to a dinner party. It so happened that we had a Thursday night, because they're coming up Thursday night. Instead of going right to the shore, I said, well, we'll have a dinner right here.
It's actually nice that you take your friends. I'm definitely, this is what I like to do. Wait, and Mike, it's actually really funny that you're telling both, because Ty and I didn't eat today, so we both, we're both eating Doritos, and you're telling us this stuff, and he just came in, he's like, I'm starving.
Thick as your head, these pork chops. See, you wouldn't eat them anyway, Tyrone.
No, but you wouldn't eat any of the meal.
Yes, I would.
No, you wouldn't, because the marinara has bits of sausage.
I'd eat around that. You got the pasta, I'd eat the pasta. I'd be, hey guys, do you mind if I get some extra pasta? It's because I don't eat the meat. And then somebody would say, yeah, they always say,
wait,
yeah.
I have a question.
I've done that at tons of parties.
Couple questions. Yes, so is it all prepared already? And you just have to cook it?
No, I need to make, I will make the sauce when I get home.
What time's dinner?
Seven. I've already made the eggplant this morning.
Okay.
I have arranged the salad. Oh, first I have an opener. I have
is it an app? I have a San Daniel prosciutto. No.
With wild boar supersada directly from San Gimignano, given to my friend Pat at my golf place. And some with some little mozzarella balls, some olives, stuffed with provolone.
Oh, how many courses do you have?
Well, this is just when they come in, they can nosh on the plate. You know,
my mouth is literally watering.
You know,
right
you have a charcuterie plate. So that's what I got with it, and some marinated artichokes. And then we go to the sit down. Starts with the salad, goes to the gnocchi, then to the steak and chops.
And then what's for dessert? That's my favorite.
Yeah, with a nice hearty red to accompany the meal.
What kind of red is it?
It's a Jack's Masterpiece from Napa, from the Hall Winery.
Is that the one you went out there? You showed me online?
Yes.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Uh-huh.
I'm not hungry at all, I swear.
I'm not going to pass out before the end of the show.
I know.
But that's really good.
When I'm committed,
you go all out.
Yeah. So I got like two couples coming over and never been to my house. I'm going to lay it out for them.
Oh, I've never been there, so I'm excited for our dinner party.
It'd be nice.
We'll have a nice house. But see, I got to alter the menu with Tyrone. See, he throws me offline because.
Can you do a fish?
Yeah, that's right. You're a fish guy, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a pescatarian.
You can do a small thing on the side, or I can even bring it.
I could grill it.
I've done that before.
BYOF?
No, I bring. Because I don't want to put people out, so I bring a lot of time.
I can grill some fish. I make fish. I don't eat fish a lot, but I can make it. I'll grill it for you. Fresh grill a little lemon.
Oh, that's nice.
A little lemon butter.
That's very nice.
All right, let's go. Charlie's calling from California. Charlie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Charlie?
Good afternoon. I want to follow up on the call about Buck Showalter and Mike Scioscia.
Mm-hmm.
I read an article 2 Saturdays ago in the LA Times. Can you do me a favor, Charlie?
Get off the speaker.
I'm not on the speaker, but let me unplug.
You're on something.
Yes,
all right, go ahead.
Oh, okay, sorry about that. But Scioscia said in his interview, they asked him if he'd manage again. He said, with the right opportunity, I'd be interested. He's a catcher.
Yeah.
They have leadership skills, mm-hmm. and he's from Upper Darby, and I think he'd come back there and make a difference.
He's from Springfield Delco.
Well, paper said Upper Darby, sorry.
Yeah, I think they were rounding off to the next nearest big town. He went to Springfield Delco High. Scioscia's a good name. He's a good name, and Joe Girardi's a good name.
Yeah,
you know, there are people out there that are looking for managerial jobs. So we'll see what happens. Now, for this to happen, the Phillies would have to collapse, Charlie. So we're in a tough spot. We don't want them to collapse.
I was in big companies all my life, and when something went wrong, I look for what did we change. And what changed here is this whole philosophy. We're going to teach guys who've been swinging at baseball since they were 12 years old. We're going to make them swing differently. And that's a problem. That's a problem. And that's what the, that's what caused this hitting drought, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't know about that.
Okay. Well,
yeah, I don't know about that. I just think guys haven't hit. I don't think it's because of this launch angle thing that's messing them up. I think this is the, they know that this is the nouveau thing, especially home run hitters. They have to swing that way.
Well, it's a combination of things. It's that, and I think they overmanage when they're allowed to swing.
Yeah, well, we'll see what, if this changes with the Charlie philosophy being more simplistic than working counts as much as they do. Mark in Woodbury Heights. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark.
Yeah, Mike, you know, I like Charlie. And I hope it with him, the comfort level, I think it's a positive thing and all that. But how soon we forget in May of 2010 in Colorado when Jim Tracy, the Rockies manager, spotted the Phillies picking up signs from the bullpen. How from that point on, how the Phillies offensively for the rest of 10 and all of 2011 did not hit the ball like they did prior to. And how it cost them.
2011, they won 100 games.
Yeah, they won 100 games because they had a dominant pitching staff.
So they didn't hit that year? Come on.
They did not hit the way they did in 08 or 09, not even close. If you look at the numbers,
I know. This was the great conspiracy theory that they were only aided and abetted by stealing signs and cheating, which I don't buy.
But they did not hit the ball the same way. Look at what they did in the playoffs in 2010 and 11. They couldn't hit themselves out of a paper bag in those playoff series. You guys forget that?
No, but you're making this too simple, man. You're hanging on to a conspiracy theory. Charlie Manuel has had plenty of success with hitters. So you're saying that the only reason that he does have success is because somebody gives him the signs?
No.
Well, what are you saying?
When he was the manager, Milt Thompson, the hitting coach, got fired. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay, that was either in 10 or 11. He got fired. Mm-hmm. They struggled offensively. What I'm saying is, Charlie, I think it's a breath of fresh air. I get all that, but you know.
Well, if you get all that, that's all you have to. That's all you have to get. You know, a breath of fresh air is a breath of fresh air. Why are you complicating it?
I'm just not sold that he's going to be the answer.
Okay, he might not be the answer, but you admit it to yourself. It's a breath of fresh air, so it's a good move that they made.
Well, because it can't get any worse.
You're a curmudgeon, man. You are a miserable.
Mike, you guys are making this out to be like...
No, nobody's making it out to be anything. Tyrone got a little crazy with it. I don't know what's going to happen. It might be just a coincidence. Certainly, last night's game was a coincidence. He hasn't been here long enough to impart any wisdom to all of a sudden make bad hitters great hitters. I get that. But what? Why would... I don't understand people that like to pour cold water on something that they actually agree is a good move. But they got to get their little comments in that they're smarter than the average guy. Oh, it's not going to work because Charlie isn't actually a great hitting coach. It was all product of Mick frickin' Billmeyer who flashed signs from the bullpen. Come on, man. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
3:46, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. You can climb in at 610-632-0975. We have two open lines. You know, somebody brings up a team, I always like to go back and reminisce. So he brought up 2011, where he says they weren't a good hitting team. They did have a very good pitching staff that year. Can you name the pitching staff, Tyrone? You're going to get the fifth starter. You'll get four of them.
Well, Hamels, Lee, Holiday, Oswalt.
Yes.
Who was the
fifth starter?
Because Blanton was gone?
Blanton came, I think, later.
to start the season? Was it?
Unless he got hurt. I don't know. He was only 1-2 that year. He only pitched 41 innings for the Phillies.
Nah, that couldn't have been. It wasn't Wrigley, huh? It wasn't Kendricks?
No, but he was on the roster. He had a nickname.
I don't remember.
He had a nickname. It started with a V.
I don't got
the Vanimal.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, I remember.
Remember Vance Worley?
Vance Worley.
He was actually 11-3 that year with a 3.01 ERA as their fifth starter.
No, I do remember now, but he's such a like a forgettable. The Phillies have, with their good teams during that run, had all our guys that we remember, and then there's a bunch of guys who are like could walk right into the studio and be like, oh, who is this?
Yeah, now, they had six guys of their starting eight that had double-figure home runs. So they did hit. Now, Utley missed a lot of time that year.
That was when the knee, the mysterious knee injury.
Yes. So who was the starting lineup for that team? Most of them you can get. Well, but like there are a couple guys that you might not get.
Well, you go Chooch, Howard. Who was playing when Utley was out, though? I don't remember who played when Utley was out. I honestly. Rollins.
Wilson Valdez.
Oh.
But no. Actually, he did play some second. This guy's a left-handed hitter from Canada.
From Canada?
Yes. What? I hated him.
I don't remember.
Pete Orr.
Oh, yeah, you did hate him. You hated Orr.
I hated Pete Orr. He played second base. So, obviously, Rollins. Who was the third baseman?
Who was the third baseman?
How soon we forget. This was not that long ago. They won 101 games in this team.
I know, but I blocked all that out after Cliff Lee did what he did in the playoffs.
So, Cio Polanco was third baseman. And who was the right fielder who they acquired in a trade? Bañez played left still.
Oh, was that what you call it? He's still hanging around.
He had an all-star year this year.
Yeah. I'm just blanking on his name.
Hunter Pence.
But
here's the frustrating part of this team for me. I hated their bench.
You did.
They had four of the worst and most frustrating backup outfielders that I've ever experienced as a Philly guy.
Well, who were they?
Can you name them?
No way.
I hated all of them.
Was Young one of those backups?
No.
Not yet there yet.
You ready for this? John Mayberry.
I
hated him.
You did.
Ben Francisco, double hate. And finally, Michael Martinez.
Oh
wow.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Michael Martinez walked in the studio right now. I'd be like, who are you? I don't remember Michael Martinez at all.
And Dominic Brown. I might add Dominic Brown.
Well, I remember
on that
Don
list.
Brown. Don Brown's just.
He was supposed to be the next coming.
Couldn't trade Don Brown. Can't trade Don Brown.
Yes. The backup catcher was Brian Schneider.
Yes.
I remember
And Wilson Valdez is on that team. I think
I remember Valdez. But I tell you, if Martinez walked in there, Mike walked in the studio right now, I'd have no idea who he was.
Michael Martinez.
I would have no idea who
last
he is.
Last I saw Valdez, I think he was playing for the River Sharks when they were still a team.
Yeah, he did
play for them for a while, right?
For the River Sharks,
after he was done with the Phillies.
Because he wanted to stay. He was waiting for the call.
Yeah.
My God, these names.
And they're so good.
He brought up from the minor leagues a left-handed pitcher named Mike Zagurski. Remember him?
Yes.
The little chubby face guy.
I bet you Booney is in his glory.
I bet you remember every single one of these guys.
Remember this guy? I hated this guy too. Michael Schwimmer.
Yes.
Him?
Yes.
Kind of. But he walked it around. I remember his face.
Antonio Bastardo had a decent year.
I liked Bastardo. I did like Bastardo. Yeah.
All right. Let's stop reminiscing. Let's go back to the phones. Joey in South Philly. Joey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's going on?
What's up, Joey?
What's up? Listen, Natalie, listen. You surpassed Paris Hilton with the cheeseburger eating video. So
serious?
Very nice.
It's become legendary now. Natalie eating a cheeseburger.
Listen, Nat, iconic overnight. So good for you. Love it. But I was just on 95 North, and I saw Brent Celek billboard. When did he become a real estate agent?
I guess that's his new profession.
Yeah, no, I was just...
probably a good move for him. He's a recognizable guy. He's a trustable guy.
Yeah, I just found out. I literally just saw it.
Good move for him. I thought he was originally going to be a restaurateur, but I guess that didn't work out.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess tonight's game, how do you feel about Wentz not playing the preseason? Mike?
I don't think he should play at all. I don't think he should take one snap. What's it going to prove? If he plays at all, they're going to play him one series. So what good is that? So just don't play him.
No, I'm not saying to prove anything. I mean, I would say play one.
Why would you want him to play?
Just because I want to see him play.
Oh, I get that, but what's beneficial for the team? You seeing him play or him being ready for the season?
I don't know how much it would be beneficial for the team, but you know, maybe Doug Peterson just wants to see him out there.
Why? Why? He sees him practice every day. Throw him. Listen, the most important thing with Carson Wentz is that he's healthy for game one, is it not?
No, I completely agree with that.
Well, then how do you guarantee that? The only way you can guarantee that is you don't play him.
Right. I'm just saying from the coach's eyes, maybe for him just to physically see him out there for three quarters in one game.
I don't think Peterson's thinking that.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not good. Three quarters? You want him to play three
quarters? I have a question.
All right, go ahead.
God. Yeah, I mean, why not? I just want, you know, for my eyes to see. Test.
Yeah, but three quarters is putting him in like a guillotine.
I have something to comment on.
Go ahead. What's your next?
No, it's Carson Wentz.
Is there any reason to play Carson Wentz three quarters in a preseason game? Let's get real here. Let's get real, peeps. Come on. You don't want him playing three quarters in a preseason. For what? What are you going to see? He's your starting franchise quarterback. You know he's a good player. Do you need to see him in a preseason game to like reevaluate whether he's a good player or not? There's no upside to it.
Actually, though, that guy right there, if he was to play a series and they were to go three and out, oh, no, we should have kept Foles. That would be that caller. Should have kept Foles. He looked shaky in that series.
Again, it's all about risk-reward. The most important thing is he's healthy for game one, and the only way you can guarantee that is not have him play in the preseason. And so and if you're going to justify, well, we need to see him a little bit, why? What's two series going to do? They're going to be conservative anyway. You're not going to see anything. You'll see it in the game. 610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show. 4 o'clock hour. Tim McManus will be coming up. Training camp report back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.